Our scripture text is now advanced to Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 to verse 13. We are resolutely preaching from the book of Matthew, that when they are completed, we may compile them together as sermons from Matthew. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus took up Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as a sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, that is Elijah, talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. The Lord had his blessings to the reading of his sacred word. Jesus took the inner circle of 3 disciples, Peter, James, and John, up a high mountain to pray. As he later, before his death, brought them to the Garden of Gethsemane. Commentators have identified this mountain to be Mount Tabor. So I have entitled the message, Heaven and Earth Met on Mount Tabor. Mount Tabor is a very beautiful mountain, very symmetrical, which rises to about 2,000 feet. To be exact, 1,930 feet above sea level. And it is situated in northern Galilee. When we have a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, this is one place we will never miss. We go up by coach, and halfway we have to change to taxis to drive up to this mountain. The drive up is most refreshing when we imbibe the cool, fresh air. On this mountain are built many mansions, plenty of houses. Of course, these are all of the church property, whether it be Greek Orthodox or Roman Catholic. And here they commemorate the transfiguration of Jesus and the appearance of Moses and Elijah. Most exhilarating experience, I'm very sure, that they should come and join Jesus. As Jesus prayed with the three disciples, suddenly his face shone as the sun, and his garments and clothing shone like light, because the veil that commonly veils him as a servant, that he is taken to be a very ordinary man, is lifted from him, and he dazzles his disciples truly like the sun. He is, because he is the only begotten Son of God. How wonderful for us to join them in this experience, because so often we take Jesus to be a common man. He is not only man, 100% man, without any sin, but he is also fully God, 100% God. So let us come and worship him and fear before him, than to take him as an ordinary person. Now, suddenly, when Moses and Elijah appear before him, we have Moses is one who died, but nobody could find his grave. And Elijah is one who did not die, but was carried up to heaven in a fiery chariot. Of course, these who are modernists laugh at us, but we believe every word of God. The first lesson that we learn from this appearance is that we who, like Elijah, living in these very last days, and it is very probable that we may not die before anything else, but Jesus will come and he will rapture us to heaven by changing us, but we will not see death like Elijah. When Moses and Elijah appeared before the three disciples, it also makes them very happy that all of God's children who die, who have gone before us, they have life everlasting. Isn't it wonderful that every sermon we preach from Matthew brings you the good news that He is always blessing us who come to Him. Now, Peter suddenly said to Jesus, "Oh, Master, how wonderful it will be if we can make 3 tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But the Gospel of Luke tells us that when he said these words, perhaps he was mumbling because he was heavy of sleep, as when in the Garden of Gethsemane they were also very sleepy, being conquered by sorrow. The third lesson we learn here is to refrain from the habit of Peter to blurt out, to say anything without much thought. Sometimes silence is golden. Then, after this, there was, speaking out of a bright cloud, the voice of the Father. "This is my only begotten Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Which teaches us a fourth lesson, that it is not to listen to Moses or to Elijah. They had given us good teachings, but Jesus is the final word of God, and God loves to have him speak to us, that we are to do whatever Jesus tells us. The disciples were scared to death, but Jesus came and dispelled their fear and quietened their hearts. Jesus is a most wonderful teacher. He is never harsh to his disciples, or does he ever handle them roughly. But he teaches always by example and in total kindliness. What a different type of some human teacher. We have a student returned from America, and he took over my homiletics class. Homiletics means preaching, and I teach the class on preaching theory and practice. He snatched away the class from me and said, "Let me teach." But all the students who tried to do their best to preach a sermon have all what they do totally erased. It is as it were, the teacher tears up the exam paper of the students. He will tell them that they're wrong, this and that, everything, practically from head to foot. And only he can preach. The result is that they all become nervous wrecks. I had my oldest student in class being a Norwegian missionary, Andrew Bowe. He is 10 years my senior. He is well over 90 and he is still living today. When he came under the cross, he despaired greatly. Well, I don't want to say that I'm a superior teacher, but I copy the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I deal most gently with them not to shatter their confidence. So I always say, please say a kind word. First of all, in making the constructive criticisms. And so Andrew Bowe became restored. He would shiver with his hands when he preached. But he was so glad that we restored him because we passed very kind remarks. That is how Jesus is. And if you are a disciple, he will deal with you most gently and guide you along. Our Lord Jesus Christ still led them on. And he told them, don't tell anything to the other disciples until after the resurrection. So up to now we have learned 5 lessons and what a privilege that they of the inner circle learn so much in such an exhilarating experience from the Lord Jesus Christ. The 6th lesson of what they learned was when they were descending to the field and the disciples asked him a question. Elijah came. How is it that he said that Elijah will come first? And Jesus said, well, he has already come. And you don't know, and they don't know. And they have done to him whatever they want. Of course, treat him very roughly, as they will treat me. Of course, referring to John the Baptist, who was killed, executed, and Jesus Christ, who would soon be crucified, suffering for us. We thank God that all together we have learned 6 lessons together with the 3 disciples by reading this account. When we think of church history and other disciples in the Bible, we surely thank God for others who are in the inner circle, whom God has mightily used. And today it's the same thing. Even we have part-time Bible college students come to study, but when they graduate, they can contribute much, like these 3 who are of the inner circle. Without the training, you do not know. For this, we thank God for Timothy and Titus. To Timothy, Paul has said that the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And so on. We thank God for Timothy and for Titus that from their hands there continue to be a line of faithful teachers. Do pray also for Far Eastern Bible College that we may remain faithful in all that we teach, that it is according to the Word of God, that it is from God. Heaven and earth met on Mount Tabor. This identification, I am very sure, is correct. Some people say that Christ brought them to Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is 9,000 odd feet. Think of it, our Lord and Savior had to walk with his bare feet. Of course, he must have put on straw sandals, but he was young, and being the Son of God, he could not have any sickness. Often we hear that the disciples got very sleepy, but Christ was fully awake. To close the sermon, we thank God that heaven and earth met on Mount Tabor. And in so far as we are concerned, if we have a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, we must go up to Mount Tabor in those sacred surroundings to feel truly the nearness of Him and Moses and Elijah. But while they had to climb the mountain with many difficult steps, we have gone up there by coach and taxi, comfortably seated. Oh, how we need to thank God in the modern times with the Bible, which is the fullest revelation of God's perfect Word. We can be saved. We can be sure of that guidance. Let us pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful, most wonderful experience where heaven and earth were united through the appearance of Moses and Elijah, and how they had come to strengthen our Lord in His death. O Lord, help us that we may be of service to You, as when You called the inner circle of the three disciples to pray not only with You on the mountain, but also in Gethsemane. We pray Thee that we may also be of service to You, and that we may not fail You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.